Praise God. Well, we've been talking for some time about turning your faith loose, and we're going to pick up there. I thought this would be probably the last week we've been talking about this one go on, but I'm not so sure now. But let's turn over real quickly. I want to read you one scripture in Romans 10. And then we'll go on. Kind of our text that we've been staying on during this time. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. Thank God for His holy written word. Glory to God. Verse 8, but what does it say, everybody there? It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So notice that. We've been talking about right thinking, right believing, right saying. And here it says that if you confess, this is how you get born again. Notice this, because we're going to go into some things. That if you confess with your mouth, that if we speak it out with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, we confess the Lord Jesus, and we believe it in our heart. Our hearts are spirit. We're spirit men on this earth. You're looking at natural things right now. But the real us is a spirit. People say, well, you die when your heart stops beating. Now, you die, that's part of it, but you die when your spirit leaves. When your spirit leaves, your heart's going to stop beating, and they can keep your heart beating, and you're not there. They can keep your heart beating along, and your body is sort of alive, but you're gone. It's empty. No, death is when, physical death is when your spirit is out of here. But it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with confession, or with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to say that one more time. I don't repeat things because I think you're slow. It's because it's registering on your heart. Confession is made unto salvation. You're believing in your heart and you're doing something with your mouth. You're saying. Why is that important? If it is how you get born again, well, I'll just believe something. Believing, believing is one thing, but you need to speak it out into this realm, into this earth realm. And I want to go into some things. Before I get there, I want to cover a few things here, but then I want to get in to some things regarding the earth and the system that we're in right now. But I wanted to read a few things. A wrong confession destroys your faith. It holds you in bondage. But the confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the devil in combat. And with your mouth, you're either going to give God dominion over you or you are going to give Satan dominion over you. Satan is the god of this world. He is the god of this world. We're going to go into a bunch of scripture about that. But why does it matter what you say? That's what I want to go into. Why is it when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that something happens, that you're translated out? That's how we became born again. And if that's how we became born again and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that's how you get out of any of the of Satan's bondage. If that's how you got free and your spirit became born again, if there's an area of your life that is bound, you're bound by sin, you're bound by sickness, you're bound by some habit, those all have their root in the fall, when Adam gave in to the enemy, and when he gave in to the enemy, he bowed his knee, Adam was the god of this world, if you want to say it that way. He had been given dominion by God. God said, have dominion. And Satan came in and committed high treason, and he got man to bow his knee to him. And the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. And we're going to see that. Well, he is over the earth right now, but he's not over Christians. But how do we take our authority? How do we rise up and say no? We speak it out our mouth. We believe what God has said and we declare it. We declare it. And that's how we became born again. Notice that. The very fundamental thing, how we became saved. Let's read it again before we go on. Romans 10. I want to show you some things. But Romans 10. It says that if you confess. It didn't just say if you believe. Notice that. It said if you confess, if you declare, if you come and say, Jesus is Lord. I believe on Jesus. You have to believe it in your heart. In other words, you can't go around trying to get people to parrot you and say the prayer after you. That won't work. If they don't believe in their heart, it doesn't matter what they say. On the other hand, they need to speak it out and declare it and say something. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. This is the same way you believe unto anything. You believe with your heart. We've talked about that. Not your head. In other words, you don't have to understand everything with your head. Thank God. Because I don't understand how Jesus bore the sin of all. But he did because the Bible says it and I believe it. My heart just has to believe it. I don't have to understand it with my head. He said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So something happened when you confessed Jesus. Something happened. You were translated. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians 1. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1, verse 13. Everybody there? Colossians 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So we were under the power of darkness, but we've been conveyed or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How did that happen? That happened when we confessed with our mouth, believed in our heart, the Lord Jesus, and that transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness. We were bound. We were slaves. We were in a bad family. We had a bad father, an abusive father, the destroyer. And we said, no, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, and I believe that He died for my sin. And something happened. Boom. Our spirit was made new. But I want you to notice we were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is the power of darkness. Turn over to 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. First John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Notice that. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The 20th century New Testament says it like this: under the influence of the evil one. Under the influence of the evil one. Weymouth's translation says, the whole world is in the power of the evil one. I like the New King James, though. It says, under the sway, because that describes it so well. Swayed, deceived, influenced. He is the God of this world. And that's exactly what he does. He sways people. Go over to Acts 26. Acts 26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 26, verse 18. Let's go back, actually, verse 17. So this is Paul recounting how the Lord spoke to him. Verse 17, and this is Jesus. Go back to verse 15. He said, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" And then he's saying, I'm going to send you. Verse 17, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you." Look at the next verse. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And read verse 17 again. He's sending them to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from the power of darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Why? He's going to preach the gospel to them, and if they'll believe just exactly what Romans 10 says, and confess the Lord Jesus, that's how you're conveyed out of that. But notice, Satan is the power of this world. He rules the world. He doesn't rule Christians unless we let him. The second Adam, Jesus, redeemed us, but we have to receive it. And just like we have to receive salvation, we have to act on anything else he's provided. You can be born again, going to heaven, and still be bound in areas of your life because you've yielded it to the devil. And there's a big way we yield things to the devil. We act on things. Yes, your actions are important. But when you start speaking in line with the enemy, you watch how fast your actions follow. You watch how fast you're defeated. You can be going through a day and feel pressure and feel, pressure to say certain things, pressure to just start getting negative and upset. And if you'll just resist it, you'll find it won't have an effect on you. But if you start letting it out of your mouth and start speaking out what you are being pressured to say, and start speaking out that I just don't, that's it, I've had it, I don't know why, nothing is going right for me, it never goes right. You start going down, you watch how fast stuff comes in on you. You're tempted just to go and say, it just gets worse and worse. Why? You're yielding to the enemy. You're yielding. He's the God of this world, and he's putting pressure. He wants to destroy mankind. He's a horrible taskmaster. He's got dominion over this world, and he's just destroying left and right. He doesn't care for anybody. He'll use people and throw them away. Okay, they're no good to him. Kill them. Let them die. Best people. I mean, people that are doing all kinds of stuff bad for him. And he's still, just let them die. You know, people, rock stars, going 100 miles an hour, die when they're 27. He can't help but kill. That's what the Bible says. He's a destroyer. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He can't help himself. Wicked. But in the middle of being pressured, if we'll, instead of yielding our mouths to that, start praising God, like we were saying earlier, just start saying, Lord, I thank you that in the middle of this, you are still the Lord. You still are God, and I thank you that you can deliver me out of anything, and I praise you. You watch how the atmosphere changes. It will. You just stay on that. Praise God. You are giving God glory. You are resisting the devil with your words. You're standing up and declaring, no, Jesus is Lord. He's bigger, and watch him deliver me. You know, David, when he was running at, he's going to fight Goliath, he was running at Goliath. And Goliath had just said, I'm going to take you out. And David speaks back and said, I'm taking you out. I'm going to cut your head off. Watch it. He tells him what he's going to do. He wasn't intimidated. He speaks it out. And he did it. He cut his head off with his own sword. But it says to open their eyes. The devil sways people. He blinds people. And if we're not careful, if your eyes aren't on the Word of God, your eyes can get darker. That's why it's so important. Like what we were saying Sunday, what you let in your eyes and in your ears, because the whole world is under the sway of the enemy. Don't let things that are inspired by his deceptions influence your life. You got to watch what music you listen to, what you watch on television, what radio stations you listen to, because it so much of it, I'm not saying it's all evil to begin with. You got to watch, because some things are just, it's tainted by the way the enemy is trying to get people to go. He's got mankind going in a current in a certain way, and it's destruction, because that's all he does is destroy. And so we have to be careful what we listen to, because it can sway us. It says to open their eyes. What opens our eyes? The Word. The truth brings light. Your Word is a light unto my path. It brings light. There is no darkness in him. In order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive. See, Satan does not want people to hear the gospel, because then we can receive forgiveness. He doesn't want them to get saved. He doesn't want them to hear. And even if they're saved, he wants to keep them bound then. They're going to heaven, but if he can keep them basically weak and helpless in life, next best thing. Helpless. Beat up. Constantly limping through life. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Thank God. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Second Corinthians 4:4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice that. Whose minds the God of this age Satan has blinded. He's blinded men's minds. You wonder, why would somebody reject Christ? Well, a sane person, a person that sees clearly, would never do it. If there were a bridge out, and there were signs and flashing lights in front of that bridge, where the cavern and said, bridge out, flashing. No person in their right mind driving up to that would go over that edge. We were just coming here tonight, and an ambulance came through. You can see the flashing lights. Everybody pulls over. They go right down through downtown Andover. If you were driving on the highway at night, and you see flashing lights up ahead, and you see bridge out, your first reaction is not to hit the accelerator. No, you're going to say, whoa, 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 let's turn around. I mean, we can't go. Nobody in their right mind would go through that. But a drunk person would. A person that was doped up would. They don't even see it. Their mind's racing. They're accelerating. And they go right through the signs and into their death. Why? They were doped up. Their mind was not thinking clearly. They were blinded. Their senses aren't functioning. Even if they did see it, their reaction's so slow at that point. Same thing. You say, how can people reject Jesus? They're blinded. They're deceived. They're swayed. Deception. There is no God. What God? Jesus? Just a man. It's what he does. But what does it also say? It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What does this word do? It cuts through the anointed word of God. And when you hear the word of God under the anointing, it just cuts through that stuff. Have you ever noticed? You'll be in a service and things just become so clear. It's like, How could I have missed it? I mean, it's just all like laid out to you. And if you don't watch it, you go back in your life and then it seems to close if you don't keep that word in front of you. You know what I'm talking about? No, the anointing of God will just cut through. The word of God will cut through and it'll lay it out. You'll see things in your life say, that's what's happening. I see it so clearly. That is exactly what's happening. Why? Because everything is taken away at that point. The word of God cuts through the darkness and makes it clear. The Spirit of God does that. What is that? It's the light of the gospel, the light of the Word of God. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So he said, he made you alive, you who were once, you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? The God of this age. Satan. You were walking, what? According to him. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He is working in the world those that will allow him to work. He is a deceiver. He is the God of this world. So that is why We know who he is. And we know how we got translated out of that kingdom. And how we got translated out of that kingdom is the same way we get delivered in every area. We boldly declare what Jesus has done for us in every area. And you say it in spite and in the face of contradictory circumstances. Because he is the God of this world, he has control over elements of this world, and he can push people. That's why you don't ever be led by what people would call fleeces. That is Old Covenant. Yes, they did put out fleeces several times in the Old Covenant, but they did not have the Spirit of God living inside of them. And God met them where they were at, but it is not for the New Covenant Christian. We have the Spirit of the living God residing on the inside of us. He will lead you and guide you by that Spirit, because Satan can influence things in this world. Somebody says, well, if I see three red cars pass, then I know it's passed before my house, then I know it's God. That has nothing to do with anything. Well, if that person says this tomorrow, then I know it's God. There is a God of this world, and he controls it. He can easily manipulate it, and you think it's God if you're fooled by that. But he cannot counterfeit the Spirit of God, the inner witness. Turn over real quick. Romans 8. Let's just turn over there real quick. Romans 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's how you know you're a child of God. I mean, you know it by the word of God, and you act on it, but he will bear witness with you that, yes, you've been born again. You're a child of God. That's how he speaks to us. He bears witness with our spirit, and that's the way he'll lead you most of the time. We don't have time. We're not going to go into all that. There's messages up in our website about being led by the Spirit of God, a whole series. And we go in depth. But you see it over and over where people said, it seemed good. It seemed good. Well, let's look at one of them. Turn over to Luke. Hold your finger in Romans, though. It seemed good. You see that phrase. Some people are looking for a sign. Some people are looking for something out here. Spectacular. Don't look for the spectacular. Don't search for the spectacular. Don't seek for it. Don't seek for voices. Don't seek for angels. Don't look for anything spectacular. Yeah, but I saw in the Bible where the angel spoke to this person, but they didn't ask for it, and it is not scriptural to ask for it. If you ask for it, the God of this world can accommodate you. He can appear as an angel of light. Don't ask that God will show you some sign through some natural type of thing, like what we've talking about, fleeces, because the God of this world can accommodate you. Don't ask to hear a voice. That's not scriptural. God will lead you most of the time by exactly what we're talking about, by the inward witness, by being led. He'll bear witness with you on the inside. Somebody put it like this. One of our children, the children's workers at Rhema, she would teach the kids like this. She had a glove that was all velvety. It was a big glove, and then it was all just kind of velvety and soft. And she let the kids feel it and say, feel that, and they'd feel it. Oh, it's soft. And she said, when God's leading you, That's what it feels like on the inside. Just, yep, that's where I'm supposed to go. Yep, that seems good. Yes, think about that. And when he's checking you, telling you, stop, don't do that. She had another one that was like sandpaper, all scratchy, and she said, now feel that. She said, that's when God's telling you no. And it just is like sandpaper. And this is how you can make decisions in your life. You think about going one way and see how you feel on the inside. You think about going the other way and you see how you feel on the inside. And let it sit over days. And if it just keeps seeming good and you're like, my head can't understand it, but something inside just jumps up and down and this seems good. Yield to that. Don't go by your head. On the other hand, you could look on the outside and everything seems perfect, lined up, but inside it is just like, no, I just almost feel sick. It's gross. I don't want to go. I don't think I should go that way, but it seems so good. On the outside, with my head, it looks so good. Brother Hagin tells the story of when he first, or was near the time he moved to Oklahoma, there was a man that that offered him, said, I'll record and duplicate all your tapes free of charge and help him out. And it just looked so good. And Brother Hagin, he had a check in his heart, and he just said, no, it just doesn't seem. And later found out that guy just wanted to get control of his tapes and then use them and did not have his best interest at all. But in the natural, it looked like, ooh, this looks so good. And you know what? A lot of Christians, something like that will happen. They'll say, ooh, this is God. This is God helping us. Look at how he's getting us off the ground. But it wasn't. It was somebody that meant him evil. But the God of this world cannot counterfeit the Spirit of God bearing witness to your spirit. Doesn't matter. He can counterfeit stuff on the outside. He can bring pressure to bear. He can put pressure on circumstances. But if you have a go on the inside, no matter what you see or feel, you go with that. Now, real quick, in Luke, I had to turn there, Luke 1. Notice this. Many people would say, wow, the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels. Wow, how did he sit down to write that? That just must have been spectacular. Read verse 1. It says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also. Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. He said, it just seemed good. I know there's been a bunch of accounts. But it seemed good to me also to write to you. That doesn't seem really spectacular or supernatural. It's supernatural, but it doesn't seem spectacular. That's how God leads us most of the time. It just seems good. He leads you in line. He'll always lead you in line, right in line with the Word of God. Right in line with what it says here. Give you another example. You remember Brian McCallum, Reverend Brian McCallum that came? You remember the story he told? I remember telling at school, he told it here. But there's a book back there, Ministering Spirits. I think it's still back there. But he tells the story of how God had dealt with him to write a book about angels. And he just was like, there's all these books about angels. And I know very good people that have written the book about angels, you know, somebody that he knew personally. There's no reason for me to write another book. And so he just sat on it. He wouldn't do it for a while. And he said he was at Rhema church or something after service coming up, and he had a friend that he saw, and he was walking up smiling, and shake his hand, and the guy came up to him. He shook his hand. He said, he had a word for him. He said, how dare you say that you don't need to do what I told you to do. And he knew exactly what he was talking about. And he said he and his wife June got in the camper, and that weekend they camped out and started writing, getting on that book. No, sometimes we talk ourselves right out of what God is telling us to do because it doesn't make sense to our head. We can't see it in the natural, so we say, well, this, well, this. No, if you're reasoning, you're in the realm of the enemy. And this comes right back to what we're talking about. You don't look at the natural circumstances to determine if something's God, and you don't go by your feelings, and you don't speak out what you feel or see or what it seems like. You speak the word, what the word says, regardless of whether you see it or feel it. When you're feeling the worst and feeling beat up and feeling like God has left you, that is the time to say, God will never leave me nor forsake me. He is always with me. That is when you declare what God has said. That we know His love by what Jesus. I don't feel like God loves me. Well, the Bible says that we know love because He died for us. That's the proof we have. And that He loves us just as much as Jesus, it says in John 17:23. As He loves Him. Just turn over there real quick because some of you don't know that verse. If I didn't see this in the Bible, you would think, you're making it up. John 17:23. See, your flesh and your mind will go, I just don't know if anybody loves me. I don't know if God loves me. I just don't feel His presence today. That has nothing to do with it. If you're going by your sense knowledge to feel His presence, you're going to miss it. You're a spirit. And you can't sense the Spirit of God by your flesh or by your mind. You can feel like everybody in the world has left you, but God Himself said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13. Verse 23, John 17 says, I in them. Now notice what he's saying here. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone. He just got done praying for His disciples. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? That's us. We believe because somebody wrote it down, because we heard somebody say it, and we said, yes, that's true. So that's us he's praying for. Verse 23 says, I in them, or go to verse 22, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, and that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Just get that out, read that, and go over it and over it and over it until that resonates on your heart. And when you don't feel loved, and when you feel like you're just, you know, ready to have a bad day, you need to go and let this come out of your mouth and say, no, God loves me just like He loves Jesus. He loves me. He loves me right now. I'm loved. I'm loved of the Lord. God loves me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm going over because He has not given up on me. And I don't care what it looks like out in this world. It's subject to change, but God will never change. And He is my Father. He is on my side. I'm His child. And things are getting ready to turn. Amen. Amen. Just let it out. Let it out your mouth. Say that boldly. We boldly declare what God's Word says in the face of all circumstances, all the time. Praise Him all the time. When you don't know what to say, just say, praise the Lord. Praise God, even if you say it under the breath, under your breath, you're sitting, standing in line. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's not just religious talk. That's a good thing to get in the habit of saying. It's a lot better than some habits you could be saying. You know? No, it's not. It can be religious to some people, but you can just, no, praise Him. Oh, thank God you're good. Oh, you're good. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. Praise God. Hallelujah.